Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to another week and another episode of the Wandering One podcast, brought to you by Wandering One Studios and yours truly, your host, Link Flores. Hope you guys are having a great day wherever you are, or at least you're making the most of it wherever you're at and whatever you're up to. Today is Wednesday, January 28th, 2025. Wow. I had that right all month long until I messed it up once last week, and then it's just been happening. You know what I mean? Usually you're super stoked, like, hey man, I remember to write the date correctly this time. Nope. Just screwed it up here for the podcast, just for you guys. I'm only human, right? But thank you guys anyway for listening to the pod. Thank you so much to everybody over on Patreon. I want to put some other stuff out for you on as far as content's concerned. So listen, it's free to join the Patreon. Just go do it. It doesn't cost you nothing. And you can send me messages on there that I can read on the air. And then I can even put some of that stuff together to make a special podcast sometimes just for you guys. Just like I put up something. This is just for you guys for listening. I created an episode based on blah, blah, blah kind of thing, right? So yeah, hit me up over there on Patreon. Like I said, it's free to follow. It's only $3 if you want to support the podcast. Like I said, I'm not making ad revenue or anything on this thing because it's brand new. So every little bit of support actually does help. And sincerely, telling your friends, family, and whomever about the podcast really helps because it spreads the word about the pod. So I want to say I want to appreciate all you guys. I want to say that I do appreciate all of you. There we go. Let's try that one more time. For everything you've done. And thank you guys for checking me out over on Twitch. I am going to be taking a break off of Twitch for the month of February. I may come back for like a singular stream here or there. But I need to do some revamping work. I also have to get some of my own personal stuff together. Mentally, emotionally. And then also as far as like merchandise and updating my stream stuff. I want to try to get a little bit more diligent about doing more artwork this year. So that's one of the things I'll be taking some time off to focus on throughout the upcoming month of February. Not to mention, there's also a couple of projects that I've been putting on the back burner for way too long. It's well past time to get into those. And I want to take some time to focus on getting some of that, at the very least, started and up and off the ground. Like, kind of get it moving. If they're in some kind of physical form and I can look at them on a regular, it's not such an amorphous concept in my head, which means I'm more likely and apt to do it and follow through on it. So, that's what we're looking at right now. And then, of course, you know, like I said, you can still check me out over there. I'll be doing like maybe one or two streams over the course of February, but the subscriber giveaway for the month of January is just around the corner, so be mindful of that. I have two more streams at least coming through the end of the month of January, so pop on in to say hi. For those of you who are wondering where the hell I was feeling kind of sick earlier this week, and so, well, I feel much better today. Yeah, I was just like, I just ain't got it, you know what I mean? One of the things that really, I knew it was coming, and I dread when this kind of thing happens. And I'm usually fairly healthy, the exception of my stomach shit, which I've been trying to handle. That's also been a problem. But I don't get like a cough or flu kind of sick very often. You know, like something really bad has to happen. Like you can get those kind of symptoms if you like overexert yourself physically, and you'll get the same feelings as if you had a cold. Like if you work out too hard or do like something too physically strenuous sometimes, the next day you'll feel, it's like a weird kind of hangover sort of feeling. Like you'll feel like you've got the flu, you know, like the aches and the coughing, and sometimes you'll even get like a congestion or whatever. That's happened to me a couple of times. You know, your body's trying so hard to repair the damage that you did to your muscles, and you know, maybe you didn't drink enough water, so you're a little dehydrated. And it's working so hard to basically keep you alive that it's not really thinking about keeping you healthy. And your immune system kind of fails, I think. That's kind of at least what I've been feeling. I don't know if that's scientific or not. I'm definitely not a doctor or, if you know, a physician of any kind. But, I mean, that's what I've noticed. When I overexert myself sometimes, then the next day I'll feel kind of sick. And it's a different kind of sick than when you're hungover, right? You're hungover, you're usually nauseated, you had a headache. that kind of shit. This was very much like chest congestion, coughing, sneezing, felt like a cold. Also, I get like different cravings when I'm sick. I don't know about you guys, but when I'm feeling sick, my body's like missing something. It's usually when I'm sick, I'm like, my body's like, you need this. I'll notice I haven't had like a certain food item or like, you know, set of nutrients in a while. And I'm like, man, I need to go back to doing that again. And so this time around, I was like, you know, I was like, well, did you drink too much? I'm like, nope. Cause I'd really kind of, I'd had some good nights partying and bullshitting with the homies on stream, but no, it wasn't that. Like the way I felt was like that kind of, like I said, that congested kind of gummed up kind of feeling. And yeah, the worst part about it is when I'm that sick, it's weird. I crave like Chinese food, but I usually crave like seafood. Like when I'm that sick, I either want like hot and sour soup or shrimp fried rice or like there's this one thing called Seafood Delight. I think that's what it was called, but it was made with like prawns, shrimps, and scallops. Served in like a kind of like a slightly spicy sauce, like a spicy peanut sauce over glass noodles. And I messed that shit up, man. I love that stuff when I'm sick. It's just something about like the extra, maybe something in the omega-3 fatty acids or the vitamin E or whatever it is you get from shellfish or seafood in general that can like kind of help bolster you. It works for me. So I knew I was feeling a different kind of way because I'm like, I'm craving that. Now, if I'm hungover sick, the instant thing I think, greasy, like, grand slam breakfast. You know what I mean? I know I can't eat eggs, but God, do I want eggs. You know, a short stack of pancakes or waffles, bacon, sausage and gravy on biscuits. You know, maybe a little fruit platter to kind of offset some of that heavy grease and shit going into your body. That's a different kind of thing. Like, when you're hungover, I'm like, that's what that feels like. This felt more like this is a very stylized kind of sick, so I've been struggling with that, and I'm glad I'm like mostly over it today. Like I feel like so much better than I did even yesterday. But the craziest thing is like I'm not eating anything wild because, you know, I have to be mindful about like, here, this is my intake. You don't want to do something to stress your body anymore when you're already feeling sick, you know what I mean? So I'm not going to eat something super crazy. You know, I'm not going to go and get like lobster thermidor or something like that. And keep it kind of simple. You know, soup, you know, get some grits, you know, maybe like some little like hash browns or something like that. You want to do something to offset the acid of all the orange juice you're probably going to be drinking, the extra vitamin C and other supplements you're going to be taking. You need something in there your body can help like break those minerals and vitamins and shit like that down so they can circulate through your system kind of thing. And that's what I was doing. It was crazy, like not just last night, but even the night before last, I would just have like a little bit of soup, something light. And I think the night before last, I actually ate something. I felt good enough to eat food. And I had like some, I couldn't eat the night before last, but then like, what was that? That would have been Monday night. So Monday night, I think I made chicken because I had taken out the thought. I'm like, we need to cook this before it goes bad. So I made chicken, cooked that, had some rice, some collard greens, and I think I had a little bit of mashed potato. No, I have pinto beans. I ate that. And I felt fine. And I woke up the next day, and it was just like battery acid coming out of me. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. So then last night, you know, I wake up yesterday. And I'm like, you know what? I need to eat something. That did not feel great to feel that rumbly acid stuff coming out of my stomach. Because that was like Monday night into Tuesday morning. So then Tuesday morning, I wake up. I'm like, this sucks. I'm going to go make myself some polenta, which is kind of like grits, but it's like more of an Italian kind of thing. Instead of like American grits, where maybe like, I think I said it's like hominy. It's like a lighter, sweeter kind of corn. It's a little bit heavier, a little bit more chewy, but it's still good. It's the same kind of concept. It's just one's a little thicker and a little bit more savory-ish. The other one's a little thinner, smaller grains, and it's more creamy and like sweet, right? And so polenta is the former of the two. Had some of that. Had a couple of little potato. We had these like potato patties. I know they're not probably fully potato, but whatever. They were good enough to eat. Threw them into oven to toast those up, and threw a little bit of cheddar cheese in there. Not enough to make me sick, just enough to kind of give it a little bit of zip. And I was fine all the day long until I get down to, you know, the evening, and I made some soup. Maybe that was what it was, because I did have soup earlier on Monday. Anyway, I had soup, and I had like a Campbell's Chunky, you know, chicken and sausage gumbo. Nothing wasn't even really that spicy. It was just kind of like, that's fine. And I mixed it with a little bit of the soup that I had from the night before. Holy shit, all morning long, my stomach has just been screaming at me. So now I don't know what the fuck to do. I don't know what to eat. Part of me wants to go and just swing by the local grocery store and just grab one of those little bowls of fruit salad and just eat that with some toast. Part of me doesn't want to eat anything for like the next 48 hours and just see what happens. Maybe my stomach will turn me inside out. I don't know. And at this point, nothing I've ever found has ever been able to help me. Like we went to these gastrointestinal specialists or whatever. They call them specialists anyway. They couldn't tell me shit. The one thing they did tell me was to take omeprazole, which some of you might recognize the word if you read your medication when you take it. It's mainly the active ingredient in most antacids, especially these things called proton pump inhibitors. Your things like your Nexiums, your Zantac, those kinds of things are called PPIs, proton pump inhibitors. And what they do is they shut down the little pumps in your stomach that create stomach acid. Sounds like a good idea at first, until you realize that your body wants you to digest the food that you're eating. So after you've taken them for a while, these things go into overdrive and then you can't counteract it. Like they just keep pumping up more acid because they think you're going to shut it back down again. So a lot of times you'll take those proton pump inhibitors and then you'll realize my stomach feels better for like a couple of days, maybe a week or two. And then it gets really, really bad. It gets much worse. And that happened to me. So I was like, what the fuck? I took this medication and this, that, and the other happened. The lady was like, oh yeah, that'll happen. Like, why the fuck wouldn't you tell me that when I came in here? We just paid you hundreds of dollars to fucking do all these tests and shit like that. Put me to sleep, stick a camera up my ass. And you couldn't tell me that, oh yeah, you might want to take it easy with this medication because it'll fuck you up. Fuck you. So fuck Boiling Groover, by the way. A bunch of dopes over there. They oh my, like I said, there for like 3 or 4 days. It was just basically just not, it's going to be gross. But yeah, there was nothing coming out that, everything that came out should have been in my veins. Let's put it that way. It was pretty bad. And I thought I was dying. And they're like, no, it's just your body is reacting to the medication you've been taking to make it not do what it's doing right now. So instead of it not doing what it's doing right now, it's doing way more of what it's doing right now. I'm like, oh, gee, thanks. I appreciate that. That's super cool. So, yeah. I've been dealing with that. So like even today, like I wanted to make some biscuits and gravy and sausage gravy, but you know, I've been sleeping like shit because of this, the way I've been feeling. When I do finally fall asleep, it's like 4, 5 o'clock in the morning. So like when I was usually going to sleep at like 12 or 1, now that timeline is rolling back even further. And so I'm sleeping even later, which means like by the time the sun's going up, I'm just barely getting to sleep. It didn't happen last night, so like I was trying to go to sleep. The wife and I were up, just sitting up watching YouTube, and she's doing some game she's got on her iPad. I'm watching random YouTube videos. Part of me's telling me I should go to sleep. Part of me's like, I'm not tired yet, though. And then it's all of a sudden, it just the bottom just dropped out of it, and I looked up. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, fucking great. So try to go and lay down. Sure enough, 5 o'clock comes around. And then I'm up again. You know, I'm just awakened all of a sudden. I'm like, fuck. So I go and try to lay back down again. And now I'm just up for like, you know, another 2 hours just sitting around, piddling around. So I just turn on the news. I'm like, fuck it. I'm just going to be awake. And the wife wakes up, goes to work. I'm just kind of puttering around. For those of you who aren't aware, we're getting winter here in Florida. And so this morning it was like in the low 30s. So the heater kicks over. I'm still tired. I said, you know what? I'm just going to stretch out in the bed for a little bit. It'll be fine. 2 hours later, I'm just waking up. Cat's like crying for breakfast. I'm like, just give me like another 10 minutes. An hour later, I wake back up. I'm like, all right, time to get up. I'm burning up daylight. I have to do the podcast. Got some other stuff I wanted to take care of today. And I'm not going to get it done if I keep laying here. So finally got up and got that done. I wanted to get into the pod because I knew there was going to be a lot of craziness. The world's insane. But I wanted to let you guys know that like it's not all bad. Like even though it sounds like, man, you had a nightmare of a week, it's not all bad. It's just, you know, meeting challenges where they come, you know? I think that's one of the things that I try to focus on whenever I get like kind of down like that. Because it's easy to walk away from something that seems very simple. Like you're like, oh, this is not a big deal. I'll just catch this later. Or I'll get around to that eventually. But then eventually comes and you're not ready to do it. And that procrastination ends up boiling over. And before you know it, now you're either dissatisfied because you've left something to do for later that you should have done right away. And now it's in the way of something that you really want to do, but you can't because you have to do the thing that you have to do. Or it's left behind for somebody else to have to fucking deal with. And then you've made problems for them for no fucking reason. Those are two things I can't stand. You know what I mean? There's something about like, I've done it before. I think we all have. You leave something, you know, I mean, for me when I was a kid, especially, it used to be taking out like, you know, doing dishes or taking out trash. Those are like the kind of chores you have when you're a kid, right? But like when we were kids, we'd each have like a night to do it and or a day to do it. And sometimes I would just kind of like, you know what? I got until such and such time to do this. I'll just leave it. And then something would pop up like, oh, we're going to go and do this thing. Well, did you do that? I'm like, oh, I forgot to do this. We're like, well, can't go and do X, Y, or Z fun thing because you got to do the dishes. Or, you know, you didn't do the trash when you were supposed to. So now instead of being able to go hang with everybody, you're going to stay here as punishment. You're like, fuck. And it's different when you're a kid. It's just way more aggressive and annoying when you get older. I've had roommates that did that kind of shit. I had a great story, actually. I did this once with some roommates of mine. Because they were slobs. You know what I mean? Cool dudes to hang out with, but just as far as roommates living together, cohabitating in the same space, absolute fucking slobs. It was awful. Being around them was nightmarish. And I was like, oh, God, you guys are filthy. And so at one point, there was this thing where I would come in and I'd need to wash dishes so I could, you know, make some food or whatever. I'd need the sink and the kitchen area cleared off so I could make something to eat. Because I would get up and go to work. I worked at two different jobs during this time when I lived with them. And sometimes I'd have to be at my job at like 7 o'clock in the morning. 6:30 at the latest, you know what I mean? But usually like 7 o'clock, I mean, the earliest, but 7 o'clock usually. And so I'd have to get up, make some breakfast, and take off, right? Well, I'd make, you know, my mess, my dishes, I wash my shit, and I'd take off. And I'd be gone. And then sometimes I wouldn't just come straight back home. Obviously, you know, I'm out and about. I might just go out, hang out with the fellas. You know, I might stop by a bar or something like that on the way back, whatever I was doing. I come back and it's like, you know, 9, 10 o'clock at night, sometimes a little earlier, and the sink would just be piled full of dishes that they had created over the course of the fucking day. And I'm like, you know what? This is actually disrespectful, because what you know is that I don't like mess and I don't like filth and I don't like slop. But what you also know is in order for me to make anything, I have to wash these dishes. Because you've made enough of a mess now that the sink's not accessible. The kitchen counter's got shit all over it. You've spilled food all over the counters and the stove. So now in order for me to cook and eat comfortably and in a cleanly manner, I have to do extra work. So your laziness actually made more work for me. Or they'd half do something, or they'd do it really shitty. Like the idea being, I guess, if you do something poorly enough, enough times, people just won't ask you to do it anymore. I'm not that nigga. I will get up your ass about shit like that. Like, it'll take me a while before it hits a boiling point, but once it hits, I'm fucking done. And so at one point, they were doing this shit on a regular. Like, they would just leave dishes. There'd be like bowls, cups, plates that would have food still on them. Like, they didn't even bother to scrape it off or rinse it off. Or, and it's something, even the shittiest thing in the world to do is to like let something soak when it's like, it's a plate, bro. Just rinse that bitch and scrub it real quick. Throw it in the dishwasher. You're done. But they would let entire stacks of dishes soak. Oh, it's soaking. Really? How wet do these dishes need to get? Are they biodegradable? Fucking wash this shit. So at one point I decided I'm not washing anything that isn't exactly like what I brought into the house because I had some of my own dishes. I wash my shit and then I'll put it back into like my room for like my storage and then put it in my storage. So the only thing that'll ever get washed is something that I own that I've used. I did that for 5 days straight. And then that was like the whole week. By the time the weekend had come around, some of those cups had grown fucking mold on top of them because they wouldn't wash them. And I told them, I'm throwing all your dishes away. And they're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, you guys are fucking filthy. And this is rude and disrespectful to me. I have other shit to do. You have other shit to do. No one wants to be babysitting another grown adult. Fucking help out. This is the very barest of minimums that you can do. Is clean up after your fucking self. I'm not your maid. I'm not your slave. I'm not your butler. Fucking handle your business. So the next time I see a dish like this that has stuff in it, I'm throwing it away. And if you get mad about it, you just have to go and buy a new one because I don't care. Like I don't. One, I'm not on the lease, so if I have to get kicked the fuck out for that shit, I can. But I refuse to have to clean up after you. And that was one of my biggest things because I thought about how I was a kid and I used to do that shit. I'm like, that had to be infuriating for like, you know, my brothers or sisters or my mom have to come behind me and be like, what the fuck, man? Like, you're capable. You have hands that work. You know what I mean? You're not disabled or in any kind of way. You don't need any special accommodations. You can handle this business. Like, it's the least that you can do. And the laziness behind not doing it is basically a middle finger to everybody else. Like, fuck you. This is not my problem. Or this is beneath me. You handle it kind of shit. So that always irritated me. And I think that that's one of the things that I'm trying to be mindful about too, going forward is, as we're talking about, like, you know, the various things that happen in the news, one of the things that happens a lot is people kick the can down the road. Like, people will say like, oh, well, this doesn't affect me. So until it affects me, it's not my problem. Yeah, that's right. Until it is. But then by the time you've kicked it far enough down the road, when it becomes your problem, it's usually a really big problem. It can be one of the biggest problems you can ever have. And then you're like, oh, but what about me? And everybody's like, well, fuck you, though, because you didn't care when it was affecting us. And now that it's affecting you, you want us to give a shit? It's that kind of thing that really bugs me. I think it's one of the reasons why all the stuff that's been happening in the news and whatnot lately is so so off-putting. Yeah, and let's just talk about, like, okay, so we've talked about Bungie and video gaming quite a lot on this podcast because it's one of my favorite things to do. I do think it's hilarious and stupid that Bungie is, like, basically trying to trick and or cajole people into playing their new extraction shooter marathon that has been getting some horrendous reviews lately. One of the ones is, like, they were, like, tricking people, basically, into downloading... They're tricking people into downloading Destiny 2 and they went to go play Marathon and something vice versa. There was like another one where in Bungie's game Destiny 2, they put in Marathon themed skins. Now, remind you, Marathon is a game that they got under a lot of fire for because one, it's been woefully behind in development and seriously lacking in terms of their testing player numbers. And now that they've been acquired by Sony, Sony demands perfection, basically. They don't really suffer fools lightly, and I don't know why they haven't learned their lesson in fucking around with Bungie, but they keep going back to this well, and now Bungie's cost Sony so much money that Sony's like, you gonna make this money however you got to. And so now they're putting like marathon themed cosmetics into Destiny 2 as almost like as a way to try to entice people to play it. They forgot, though, that one of the biggest problems that they had was not just them being behind on development, not that they were going over budget, but that they were using art assets that were stolen from other creators and then getting sued for it. So Bungie's had a real fall from grace as of late. And I think it's hilarious that, one, they're trying to shoehorn their products in on one another, trying to shoehorn Marathon into Destiny 2 and Destiny 2 into Marathon players' hands. Like, oh, you were supposed to download Marathon, but guess what? Surprise, it's Bungie 2. And they're like, no. players are just really pissed. Then the hilarious thing is that they're trying to like charge $229 for a collector's edition of a game that isn't even really fully out yet. Like it is, but it isn't. Like $229 for a collector's edition, you show me the idiot that's going to pay for that, and I will show you somebody you could sell a bridge to. Just there's, I can't see it. Like everything I've seen about Marathon looks very cut and paste. Like the early days of game development school kind of approach to gaming. And it's not impressive, and it feels bad. And it also is, it's kind of sad and hilarious at the same time, because I know that if they had done their due diligence sooner, and if they had, you know, been more conscious about how they treated their existing player base, and maybe done a little bit of the extra work back when people were really starting to fall off of Destiny 2, and they, hold on, wait a minute, we've heard you guys, we're going to roll these systems back, we're going to make this streamline, and put it back to, like, you know, where you guys are really enjoying it and having fun with it. We can come up with content. How about you guys help us come up with some content, engage the community more? They could have saved themselves a lot of headache, but now they're falling apart, and it's hilarious and sad to watch. But I noticed that a lot with the when it comes to gaming in particular. But it's like I said, it's a systemic kind of thing. Like I think a lot of people in general kind of fall into that trap of I don't have to try. You know what I mean? Like I don't have to make an effort anymore. Like you get to a certain pinnacle and you're like, well, there's nothing else for me to attempt to achieve. You're like, oh, is that right? That's when the bad things happen. You know, you get to, I think Bungie got so comfortable, so used to being on top, and everything was working out for them. Everything was coming up Milhouse, basically. And they just gave up on trying. They gave up on making any efforts. They gave up on innovating. They gave up on listening. And now they're paying for it. Like their player base is falling apart. The people who are playing are really just playing the modes that they like to play, and they're not doing anything else. And it's just, it's kind of funny. Like you watch like a relationship like that dissolve so quickly because just, you know, I mean, the players have been trying, you know, between their commentary, between even voting with their wallets. I mean, like, we don't want to play this until you do that. Then Bungie does just the barest of minimums and then goes right back to fucking off again. That's a great way to ruin a relationship between a developer and a customer. I mean, or any relationship, frankly, but we're talking about video gaming right here. But yeah, just decide you're not going to make an effort anymore. You're not going to try, and watch how quickly that shit will devolve. And one day it's going to turn around and bite them. They're going to be like, all the players are just going to be like, they're going to pull themselves out of Destiny 2. It's going to happen. I think it's hilarious. Because, I mean, I'm looking at some other games right now. Like I was going to bring back this segment that I had called Brutal Game Reviews that I've been kind of bandying about. I did one of them before. For this other game, and I thought it was just fun. And there's a new game out now called Highguard that is from the developers, I think. It's from the developers or some of the development team that worked on Apex Legends and Titanfall for Respawn Entertainment. And, like, here's the thing. Gaming communities love what they love, and they stick to it, and especially if they're fans of your work and they come back for your next thing, and it's not meeting expectations, they will let you know about it. So this game is called Highguard. It's kind of like a sword and sorcery fantasy first-person PvP raid shooter. You have different classes with different abilities. They have magical abilities. They also have like guns that they can use. And they're basically, I guess it's like you craft a base, build the base, set up the base's defenses. Then you fight for control of a central point that allows you to summon a siege engine to attack the other player's base. And then raid it and destroy it before like they can, you know, get to yours. The interesting thing about this is, for everything that I've seen from the game, the maps are massive, but they're only allowing 6 players. So it's 3v3. They do give you a mount that's supposed to help you. Apparently, it's supposed to help you cover the distance in, you know, faster time. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. These are, like I said, these are just reviews that I'm reading. I don't have any firsthand experience with the game. I do find it very interesting, though, to read reviews, just because it gives you an idea of where the player base's heads are at when it comes to certain things. There's usually a common thread. And when you see that common thread and you pull that a little bit more, the entire thing can unravel. So it'd be interesting to dig through some of these comments. But everything I've seen just seems like it's either been done before and been done better, or it's just not so revolutionary that I want to try it out. Like, the world's overall aesthetic, it seems really convoluted. Like, there's like, I don't want to say that the combination of, like, you know, sci-fi guns and sorcery can't work. We've seen plenty of examples where that does work, and it works very well. But I think that the disparate looks of each individual location are so bizarre, and they're so kind of like, there's almost no common thread that runs through them that feels unified, or at least like they exist in the same universe. And then it really kind of throws the look of the game off, you know, just to look at it, not even to the playing of it. Just the overall visual appeal is kind of like scattered. And then, yeah, like, watching gameplay was just kind of, ugh. You could tell they'd worked on a first-person shooter before, but you could tell it felt like they'd never bothered to try to put these ideas into practice before they let everybody see them. Know what I mean? Like, they probably had beta testers, but they never bothered to put them through their paces. So it just kind of looks kind of flat. So this game at present, this is just on Xbox now. I can't speak for, you know, Steam or any other store. It's rated at 2.9 out of 5 stars. These are just some random comments, by the way, coming from the Xbox Live Store or Xbox Marketplace, whatever. One dude's review is a 1-star review that says, Titanfall 3 died for this. And the body text is, and don't forget it. Like, that's pretty rough. This one, I'm not going to read the person's name because this is actually kind of funny, but it's also kind of scathing. It's a 3-star review. Says, the epitome of average. And the text reads, is this game good? No, absolutely not. Is it bad? Also, absolutely not. Everything this game even attempts to do, it does exactly average. The only way in which this game excels is the degree to which it manages to not stand out in any way, shape, or form in absolutely everything it does. From the creators of Titanfall and Apex Legends, two very beloved games by that kind of community, the first-person shooter community, this ain't a good look. This one from, I'm not going to read the guy's name. I said I wasn't going to read their names. It says, really, Jeff? Jeff was one of the designers of Titanfall. And I said, this ain't it. This one says, this one is a 1-star review that says, streamer slop, dead on arrival. Wow, that's pretty rough. let's see. This is also not fun. 1-star says, nah, there's no game. The body text, haven't even seen the menu because it straight up says authentication failed every time I try to even open the game. -5 stars for an unplayable release. Needs more players. 3v3. If one player sucks, you're not going to have fun. Simple. That was a 2-star review. Somebody says, there's a 1-star review, says, big oof. A Titanfall 3 clone would have landed better than whatever the fuck this trash is. Damn. Like I said, that 1-star was like streamer slop as fuck. That's pretty rough. This one's a 1-star review that says, boring. This has to be some kind of tax scam. Zero effort. Youch. Some of these are just, some of them are, all, you know, just like nothing, but some of them are just kind of like, yeah, bro. it's actually brutal because it's like you want to give them a little bit of encouragement, but so many people are just not having a good time. And then there's always one guy. Solid free-to-play release, room to grow. A lot of content farmers and dudes with 0 hours played are review bombing a game that's got potential from a team of passionate devs. Let them cook. I don't know, man. I think that they've been in the kitchen long enough and everybody's not thrilled. You know what I mean? Ooh. Somebody's review is just a 1-star. Brother, ew. What's that, brother? That's pretty rough. Yeah, I'm not going to bag on this any longer. This is from sorry, Jeff Keighley. I hate you. Damn. It's a 1-star review. This Jeff Keighley, they're hitting him right in the face. Highguard does not want you to play this game. Jeff Keighley is the man behind it. They only let you play it a little bit to tease you, but the Game Awards man takes the rest of the game for himself. I no longer like him nor trust him. That was all one sentence, by the way. I just read that just because it was hilarious to me that there was no punctuation in there and they're expected to be taken seriously. But it is kind of funny. Somebody said, at least it's free. Damn, dog. That is brutal. Anyway. Yeah, Highguard. Shit, check it out. Let's see. If you try it and let me know what you think, I would love to read your comments on the air. I promise you I can't wait to read some of those. Especially if you got a decent review, you want to show me like a screenshot of the hours you put into it or whatever, I'm down to listen to that. But yeah, that's pretty rough there, brother. It's pretty friggin' rough. Imagine getting slaughtered that hard on your first day. Dude, that's brutal. Well, I think that's the other thing too, especially when it comes to Xbox, there's so few new games that are coming out that people are excited and motivated for. Like a couple of weeks ago, last week actually, they did this Xbox Developer Showcase. I've been calling it the Xbox Developer Briefcase because it was only an hour long. They showcased 4 games in the entire thing. And most of them, you're just kind of like, that's cool. But one of them was from Double Fine, which looks kind of interesting, where you create little pottery characters to run a MOBA-style assault on the other team's like base or kiln. Actually, because that's the name of the game. So you create these pottery creations. Each of the pottery creations, based on what they have as far as their build, will gain like a certain set of abilities. And then you have to go and use your pottery to scoop up water to douse the other player's kiln, which basically costs them the game. But at the same time, maintaining your own. And it looked interesting, but it also looked like, why did you spend 15, 20 minutes on this one part for the developer showcase? Like, this could have very easily been either its own standalone thing, or it could have been like maybe 6 minutes shorter, been half as long, and it's still been just as impactful. They spent a good deal of time on the new Fable game. Also spent a good deal of time on Forza Horizon 6. But, I mean, aside from that, I actually forgot what the 4th game was that they put out. So, just nothing really like groundbreaking or knock it out of the park kind of thing. Like Fable is probably the coolest one. People who love Forza Horizon are going to love Forza Horizon no matter what comes out of it. But for Xbox to have all these studios under their belt and not do anything with them, it seems kind of a waste. You know what I mean? Like all this talent, all this money you spent, and then this is all you got. And then you decide you're just not going to make games anymore. Like we don't want to be a game console. We want to be like a multimedia. No. Stop this. You tried this once before and it failed. Stop doing that. I just don't get it. It's a really dumb thing. I don't understand why they've gone that route. It's kind of stupid. Anyway. I'm kind of stoked. Like I'm trying to get this shit together. Because today is the last day that Hong Kong Cinema Classics is going to be showing Hard Boiled in 4K. It just came out as like a teasing release or whatever. I don't know that it's going to get a bigger mass market release unless it's just going straight to Blu-ray or streaming, which I hope it doesn't. I hope it goes to Blu-ray at least. But I just happen to have a gift card for the local theater. And I'm like, you know what? I should just go and check it out. Only thing I didn't know is, because I'd never seen Hard Boiled before, is this movie's like 2.5 hours long. So it's a long, change of draws ass kind of movie. So I want to make sure that I'm in tip-top shape before I go. So I'm probably going to just take a nap before I head out there so I can be awake, which is stupid because if I take a nap, then I'll not want to sleep again tonight. I might just take some melatonin and knock myself out. I got to get back on a normal sleep schedule. This shit's killing me. But I'm excited to see Hard Boiled in theaters. I mean, what do you guys have? If you got any comments or whatever about this, if you get this chance to see it, let me know. Like I said, write me over on Patreon, patreon.com/WanderingOneStudios. All the links are in the podcast description, so feel free to give them a peek. But yeah, I'd like to hear what you guys think. Like I said, any of your comments, questions would be welcome. And yeah, we're gonna dig right into the hard stuff now, and then we're gonna close it off with some goofy shit. Because I'm looking forward to watching Hard Boiled, but it's this kind of thing you think about, like, you know, the ultra-violent, gun-toting action and stuff like that kind of made me think about all this 2A shit that's been popping up in the news. With the recent murder of Alex Preti, age 37, a ICU nurse working for the Veterans Administration, by ICE this past week. There's a lot of hot talk going around. Like, we're kind of familiar with, like, how the Trump administration is going to frame this from the jump, right? Like, they're going to always say, whoever it was that got shot, basically it was their fault because X reasons. And if, you know, liberals had done this, then, you know, we wouldn't be facing this terrible tragedy, right? There's no accountability. They're not going to take, you know, not going to be like, hey, this had nothing to do with Joe Biden. Joe Biden hasn't been in office for over a year now. But this dude and these other dudes shot this dude and killed him in the street for no reason. They're not going to say that, even though we can all see it. Like, they literally are lying directly to our faces. We've seen the videos. You've heard the punditry. You've heard your other, like, independent media outlets. You know, like I said, like Really American, like Reese Waters, like Monty Mader. Discuss these videos at length, ad nauseum. So I'm not going to really rehash a lot of that stuff. And I'm certainly not going to replay the video. There's enough places for you to see it out there online that I feel like I don't really have to at this point. And not for nothing, like I said, unless somebody really wants has some commentary they want to share, I don't know that there's a real reason for me to do it again, where other people have said it so eloquently and have picked it apart as far as, like, the actual breakdown of events during what you see through the various angles that happened during Alex Preti's murder. It wasn't an assassination. It was just cold-blooded murder on the streets of Minneapolis, Minnesota. But they do love to double down on their lies, though, this Trump regime. Like, they just can't wait to, like, you know, their occupation forces are causing chaos and murdering innocent civilians. But they can't wait to double down on calling this man a domestic terrorist. Christy Noem, no insight to it whatsoever. But just has to be like, yeah, he was there to do maximum damage to ICE agents. Word? With a 9mm and 2 magazines. One dude with one 9mm and 2 magazines against a couple dozen ICE agents that were in that particular area? Is this guy John Rambo? Like, what did you think you were walking into? Almost every photo of this dude, he's like hiking a nature trail, or he's at work dealing with, you know, veterans at his job. Like, he's just an all-around sweet guy, right? And you've seen the video. That punk-ass ICE agent shoves a woman down because he's a big, strong man. And you show this little lady who's boss. Nyeh. What does this dude do? He's holding his cell phone in his hand. He's got his other hand up. He's waving people by so that nobody gets stuck in traffic. He's not impeding an investigation or anything like that. He's not impeding an action. He's actually trying to be like helpful and guide people through there so they can get out of the way. When he sees this woman get shoved to the ground, what does he do? Does he kick the guy in the knees? You know what I mean? Hit him with some John Wick shit, hit him in the throat, snap his neck in one twist? No. No. Does he get in a car, start it, and then turn the wheels in the opposite direction from the officer so he can make it look like he's going to try to run him over? He doesn't do that either. No, he didn't do that. He didn't push him in front of a car. Did he? No? No, he didn't do that. Now, what did he do? I know. Because he's a left-wing terrorist and extremist who is there to do maximum damage with his 9mm, does he pull the weapon that he has on him and point it at the ICE agents? No, he doesn't even get to do that. Because in fact, before they murder him, you actually see the agent take the weapon off of him because it was still in its fucking holster. So they've been lying the entire time. What does this man do? He puts himself between an ICE agent and the woman he's attacking. Takes a load of bear spray in the face. Still tries to shield the woman with his own body. Then they pull him off. Beat him. Take his gun away. And then instantaneously they all shoot him. They kill him right there in the middle of the street. Like they're putting down a rabid dog. And here's the thing I find really disgusting, and it's been coming to light more lately. And because people are like, well, where's the NRA in all of this? You know what I mean? Where's the rest of the Republican Party, for fuck's sake? You're all so gung-ho about, don't take away my guns. The libs are going to take away my guns. You know, nothing stops a bad guy like a good guy with a gun. So where the fuck are you at? Huh? Where's all the fucking outrage now? Because let's put it this way. He looks like one of your own. White guy. Mid-30s, mid-late 30s. 2A card carrying member. Worked for the Veterans Administration. The only thing that would have been even better if he found out he was a former Marine. But wait, let me get this straight. He wasn't on your team. Right, that's what it is. He wasn't on your side, perpetuating more violence and more bigotry and more xenophobia against other people, more misogyny. He wasn't carrying out more hate-filled terrorist attacks on other citizens. So because he wasn't doing that shit, he wasn't walking around like Kyle Rittenhouse. Y'all ain't got no love for him, though, right? Y'all got no love for... But Kyle, even Kyle Rittenhouse, as shitty as that bag of... That dude came out and was like, hey, man, look, either the Second Amendment matters for all of us or it matters for none of us. About the only good thing I've heard come out of this kid's mouth since the fucking day we first heard his name. And that ain't even a lot. I mean, that's the most lackluster, milquetoast-ass kind of concessionary comment you can make. It's like, all guns matter. Thanks, dickhead. Like, yeah, we know. It's not kind of the fucking point, but whatever. But yeah, they keep spinning this narrative that he was such a terrorist. Why? But what did he do that was so terroristic? Stand up for a woman? Thought Trump was supposed to be about protecting women. Right? Thought that was his thing. Women are never going to be more safe. You'll be safe and you'll be cared for and you'll be protected. Really? So when one of us tries to do that, that's what you do? You shoot him? That's what we're about? And he didn't even bother to say anything. You know what I mean? Like, where's all that support? They didn't give a fuck because the guy was being peaceful and he wasn't on their team. Now, if he had pulled his gun out, and let's say he just happened to be John Wick meets fucking, you know, Jason Statham in every movie ever, and he turned into a whirlwind of death and shot all those ICE agents, would he be a hero then? Maybe to me and you for taking on a pack of roving animals that consider themselves to be law enforcement agents. But they would have definitely hunted him down. He would have still been defending American citizens. He would have still been defending the principles that he believed in, from what he said. Because this wasn't his first encounter with ICE. In fact, the week before then, he had been at another protest, being peaceful again, and was slammed to the ground then too. Might have been why I brought the gun. It's like, if we're going to get got, I'm not going to be the first one. Unfortunately, that ended up being the case. So there, people are now supposing that maybe he was targeted. They found out who he was, and they're like, get this guy next time you see him. I don't know that it was nearly that sinister. I would hate to give them that much credit for being able to think that far forward. I think they're way too stupid for that. By some other ICE agents' own admissions, especially the newer recruits, are just a bunch of bumbling idiots. Most of them are scared of their own shadows, and the other half of them who are there and are gung-ho about the thing are really just kind of weekend warriors who want to grab a little bit of extra paycheck and overtime and maybe see some action. So I don't want to give them any credit for being that sinister and having that much forward-thinking. Is it possible? Yes. Is it likely? I doubt it. But I do know that the NRA doesn't give much of a fuck about him. I don't know if those Republicans don't give a shit either. And it should just even more so highlight the fact that they don't care about any of you. None of you. None of you. He looked like one of them. If you didn't know any better, you would have thought he was on their team. If he had a little balaclava mask over his face, you would have thought he was an ICE agent. Just filming the whole shit for posterity's sake. Maybe to go home and jerk off and laugh at later. But no, he was actually a good guy who's trying to document evil, shitty people doing evil, shitty people things. And that's how they did him. They pinned him down, they beat him, and they shot him. And it's interesting because you're going to start to see more people try to put spins on this over the next week or so. But they're going to tell you you can't believe what you saw on the videotape. A word? Really? Is that right? Is that why we can't see the Epstein files? Because if we can't believe what's on videotape, are we only going to be able to believe what we read? I don't know. It seems like it's a little easier to use Whiteout than it is to use fucking Premiere. It seems like, you know... Oh, maybe not, because you guys fucked it up with Adobe Acrobat trying to redact those files. My bad. Okay, maybe they're equally difficult. Stupid-ass people. It is interesting, though, to see that, like, people are putting up with less and less of their bullshit. Even people on their right-wing media outlets are like, dude, how do you explain this thing? They shot him. They murdered him. And they're like, he was attempting to cause maximum damage, and he was impeding a lawful immigration enforcement action. Really? Was he? How is he doing that? With the part where he had his camera in one hand and the other hand up in the air? Was it when he went to put his body in front of another person that was there, a woman that was there, so that your ICE agents couldn't beat her? Was it when he took the bear spray in the face and still had his hands up? Or was it when six of you big, brave men had to pile on this guy who could have only been the Wolverine or the Incredible fucking Hulk, which is why it took six of you to put him down on the ground? Was he impeding when you guys took his gun off of him with his face down and shot him in the back? Tell me the part where he was impeding, because I want to know where the line is so I can know when to fucking stop doing whatever I'm doing. I can tell other people, hey man, look, if you breathe too hard, if you move your left pinky finger too fast, they might think you're going for like a little pocket gun. Maybe you got like a little derringer that you tucked into your sleeve of your coat. Oh God, don't do anything. It's actually infuriating. And the people who are defending it are the worst. If you know somebody is around you who's defending this, just know that you're talking to probably one of the worst human beings that to ever exist. Right along, they're right on that line. You might want to start doing some house cleaning behind this. And speaking of house cleaning, the MAGA music fest that Kid Rock. Don't put Chris Rock in there. My bad. Kid Rock is putting on called Rock the Country. It's starting to hit rock bottom. Here's the thing about this, right? I think we talked about this last week or whatever. How Ludacris and Nelly had their names pulled from it, saying that they didn't realize that it was like a MAGA event or whatever. I call bullshit on that. First of all, I'm gonna call bullshit on that because I don't believe either of them to be that fucking dumb. I'm not saying that they're complete, like, you know, savants or anything like that. You're not gonna put them in the pantheons of the greatest thinkers of all time. You can't be this fucking dumb though. Not as long as y'all been in the music industry. This festival, as we'll call it, I guess that's what they're calling it, has been going on for, they say, about 2 or 3 years now. I think they said they had one in 2024, but I know there's at least been one then, and then there's one coming up this year, apparently. But more people are dropping out of this thing. I think that really it has less to do with being decent people, taking a stand against a tyrannical, authoritarian, light regime that is seeking to grasp at more and more power everywhere it goes. I think this is just about record and ticket sales. I think that what's happening is that people are starting to see the names of people on this list for this Rock the Country festival, and they're like, boo, and they're refunding tickets. They're canceling pre-order sales of albums. You know what I mean? They're demanding refunds for entire discographies. And it's funny that, like, that kind of pandering to this very niche, very bigoted, and very polarizing audience isn't something that they saw coming sooner. Like I said, these aren't new artists. They're not some SoundCloud rapper who got big last summer and is still trying to navigate this. They've been on this shit for a while. Especially the ones you're seeing that are dropping off, right? Like, I mean, Ludacris and Nelly easily. You know, they've been in the music game for decades. Morgan Wade, Carter Faith, they're probably a little bit newer. But yeah, you got so many big people who are in this right now that for them to be like, I think there was one of the, I think it was the lead singer. No, it was the lead guitarist for Shinedown, Zach something or other. He basically said that Ludacris wasn't tough for not taking the job. He's like, if it's a job's a job. If you're there for the music, you're there for the music. He's like, I'm here for the music, man. He's like, that's why I took the job. That's why I'm still going, man. That's what I'm still doing. I'm tough. No, you're a bigot. You play for fucking Shinedown, dude. Like, you're not fooling anybody. And you're not that tough. Let's just be real. You're not. It's probably tougher to actually fumble the bag and then be like, damn, I got to eat this loss, than it is for you to just run head first into stupid territory and get smacked in the face and be like, what, y'all didn't like this? Like, yeah, we didn't like this. Like, what the fuck you mean? The one person I'm actually kind of like, I wanted to, like, believe better in, but I don't know that I could even bother with right now, is actually Jelly Roll. Because while Jelly Roll always purports himself as being very apolitical, like, he's like, I'm just about the music and the love, man. Like, you have to understand at a certain point, that shit ain't gonna work. You have to pick a side, because when it comes to the kind of egregious abuses of power, the absolutely illegal activities you're seeing, for you to be like, I'm just sitting right here in the middle, man, you're just going to get stomped on. You know? I love these Bible thumping ones. They're the ones. It's like, and they're like, I don't want to pick a side. I don't want to, like, look, the Bible actually says, if you are lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. Even God don't want nothing to do with you. He's like, pick a side, motherfucker. I can at least deal with you if you're evil. At least I know you made a choice. But this namby-pamby, sit on the fence bullshit, get the fuck out my face with that. Those are not the words of God expressly. I'm not presumed to say that that's exactly how he feels, but I mean, pretty sure he's not thrilled about it. If that's in the Bible, let's just go with that. For those Bible reading folks out there, let's just say that that's what he's feeling. He's not thrilled with you for that fence sitting thing you're taking. You are not Harvey Danger. You cannot be a flagpole sitter. You can't sit on the fence. You're not allowed to get away with it. Pick a side. Here's the rest of y'all. Do what you can. Like, you know, do what you can. If the only way you can fight back is like, I was going to go to this festival. I didn't know it was going to be like this. I'm going to change my reservations to something else. Do that. If you want to take them, all their music off of your discography, if you want to take them off of your playlists for Spotify or whatever, fuck, do that. Whatever you got to do. You know what you could do? You could maybe listen to more Neil Young. Neil Young, who's been firing off on Trump forever, as a sign of solidarity, one, took his music off of the Amazon Prime store. So you can no longer buy Neil Young's music there. Now, if somebody bought an album of his and resold it, you could do that, but he won't have his music on there anymore. I think he's actually going to pull him off of Spotify too, but I don't remember. I know he's taking him off of Amazon because he's like, fuck Jeff Bezos. And then he made his entire discography free to citizens of Greenland through his site. He's like, you know what? You guys deserve a little bit of something. If you have to deal with this douchebag, and I apologize, we should be better as people to take care of him. But I can do this. This is what I can do. Me, Neil Young. This is what I can do. I just want you to know that each one of you has your own power, your own ability, your own agency. Not everybody can do all the things. Not everybody can be or should be, you know, an Alex Pretty. Not everybody should be a Renee Good. Not everybody can be a Keith Porter. No one should want to be that. They didn't want to be who they were, the way that they got their names known. Like I said before, some of you can march, some of you can write letters, some of you will work in food pantries and homeless shelters and veterans hospitals and community activist groups. Some of you will make music. Some of you will create art. Some of you will maybe write a book, do a podcast. Some of you might just go into a ballot box later this year and check a different box than you did last year. What you do is not nothing, and every little bit matters. Some of you, it's going to look too late. And you're going to eat some shit because you stood on the sidelines and waited and watched. And guess what? That's a price you're going to have to pay. Hopefully it's not too steep, but it will definitely come with some accountability. That's not out of hatred. It's out of love. Because if you're not willing to hold one another accountable, that means you don't care. It means none of this shit matters. It means those lives didn't matter. If you're not willing to hold those people to account, who stood by and watched, or who've actively cheered this on, then that means that their sacrifices become diminished. Is that the world that you want? Is that the life you want to live? Is that how you want to be perceived by your fellow friends and countrymen, your neighbors, your loved ones? There's a man right now eating shit all over the place because his wife decided to pop off and say that there should be more people getting shot. He's like, hey, she ain't got nothing to do with me or my furniture business. On the one hand, I get it. You know, you could be married to somebody and not know what the fuck they're into, what they're about. They could say some wild shit one day and be like, oh, no, not you, baby. That could happen. But you know what you can't do? You can't be like, they ain't got nothing to do with me. Only thing you could do is just apologize and hope that people go like, now what you going to do? You better hope that's all they do. Because right now, homeboy about to lose everything. Just because his wife had to pop off at the mouth with some hateful shit. There have to be consequences and repercussions. It's just got to be that way. Everybody gets them. I've gotten them before. I'll probably get them again in the future. I don't know what kind of stupid shit might come out of my mouth. I'd never know from week to week. I'll tell you this, whatever does happen is something I'm going to have to own up to. Nobody's exempt from that. But there's a way to approach it that could be done with love and care and accountability And it doesn't necessarily mean this shit gets swept under the rug. You're going to have to work to earn to rebuild that, to earn that trust back, to rebuild that broken faith. Promise you it'll be worth it, though. Anyway, I'm about to wrap this joint up. I'm going to end on some silly shit. You know what? I actually did take a couple notes this week. And I got to give a special shout out to my friend, That Ginger Girl, over on Twitch. Just look up That Ginger, G-I-N-G-A-H Girl, over at Twitch. I'll put a link to her channel. So you can check out her videos too, her streams whenever I'm not around, and any others too. Like, you've already checked out my friend Nerdy Neopig and my wife Queen Shutterbug. So like, check their streams out when you have an opportunity. But I was in Ginger Discord and we were talking about the Tinder escapades that they have, and I'm like, bro, for all of y'all dating problems, I would not want to be dating in this day and age, bro. If I ever had the unfortunate circumstance to be back on the dating pool, I would just leave the country. I would just pack my shit up and I would actually go to Shaolin and like spend the rest of my days as a monk. Y'all out here doing a lot. And I don't know that all of it's good, but y'all definitely doing a lot. I gotta say that. And I've been thinking about maybe adding like an actual dedicated dating advice column to this too, or like a relationship advice column to this, just because it would be fun to play around with that space. If I keep asking for random emails, it seems like it's not getting enough of a pull. So one, if you have a game that you'd like me to read brutal game reviews for, send me a message about that. Two, if you have relationship advice questions or dating advice questions, hit me up for that. Do that at patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. You can also message me over on Blue Sky, but Patreon's the best place because I can keep a track of everything a little bit better, and I can also see when I've interacted with you quickly, at a glance, without having to bother to go like, oh, did I read this one? Plus, between me managing the account for this, the account, the Blue Sky for this podcast, the Blue Sky for my stream, sometimes things get lost in the shuffle, so it's easier to just go to Patreon, and this way I won't miss you, I won't forget you, and I'll be able to pull it back up real quick and easy. But I've been thinking about that because I read some of the horror stories and the commentary that was going on when it came to their like dating escapades. And I'm like, yo, this is wild shit. I should very much like to read some of this at some point. So if you guys got anything, feel free to hit me up. If you got some weird Tinder escapades or Bumble or whatever, hit me up, man. If you're on Grindr, you know Mike Johnson, definitely let me know. I'm bullshitting. I'm not bullshitting. I do want to know, but don't do that. Don't dox somebody like that. I kind of don't know if I'm kidding right now or not. Because part of me is such a firebrand sometimes when it comes to shit like that, that I'd be like, yeah, fuck them. But at the same time, I'm like, yeah, that's kind of not cool to do to people. But I don't know, man. I feel some kind of ways about that sometimes. Because I know it's a hateful, it's a mean thing to do, right? But it's only mean if it's somebody who's like not actively trying to harm people. I think that they're just these MAGA people when they get into that space and they try to keep themselves on the down low. It's not because, you know, it's not necessarily just because they're struggling with their own, you know, sexuality or their gender expression or whatever. It's because they're ashamed of how much they hate themselves and other people. Like, they want the thing that they want, but they want it with no consequences. And, you know, they want it with, like, just the easy street kind of version of it, you know? And that's not how the LGBTQ community has ever gotten it. And it's never been easy street. They didn't pick easy mode in life. So you don't get to choose it either. You know what I mean? Like, if that makes any sense, it's not fair for you to try to have a foot in both worlds and get it on easy mode. Meanwhile, they're sitting here, you know, getting roasted, having their families ripped apart, you know, losing jobs, losing opportunities, you know, having to actually face the actual struggles, and you get to coast? Fuck no, man. I'm not for that. So yeah, maybe I do want to see that shit after all. And then I got one other thing. You know, here's a one thing. I had two weird, interesting comments this past week. And I heard somebody talking about like iPhone users and Android users, when iPhone users use iMessage, they see the green bubble of somebody who's on Android, and they freak the fuck out about it. And they're like, why you got your Android in it? Peanut butter and jelly. I'm like, dude, calm the fuck down. If you react to one of your emoji, your one of your messages or whatever with an emoji, I get a text every time that shit happens. Ain't nothing like being on a text thread with people who use iPhone, and then you get like fucking bling, 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 bling. You're like, oh shit, the group chat's popping off. You go and look, and it's just a bunch of notifications that somebody reacted to something that you can't even see. Like, bro, come on, man. Y'all doing too much. Is it mildly annoying? Sure. But am I going to fucking freak out every time I see it? Probably not. Most likely not. It's not that big a deal. I just thought something was really happening. So I look at my phone. I see like six notifications. I think that like, oh shit, we have us a discussion. And it is just a bunch of like smiley faces and hearts. And I'm like, oh, okay. That's at least nice. You see the green bubble? That means somebody's at least trying to talk to your funky ass. Relax. Jeez. And the last thing before we close, I definitely want to hear y'all's thoughts on this. I got into this discussion with one of my homies, and I was just like, you cannot change my mind on this shit. I've seen too much, I know too much, and I refuse to let you sway me. Both Jack and Rose could have survived on that fucking door, and there's nothing you could say that could tell me otherwise. And Rose is foul as fuck for not pulling him up there. Rose wanted him dead. She wasn't going to let it get out that she had been slumming it the whole time on the trip when she should have been being faithful. She was foul as fuck for what she was doing. Jack was just trying to get it. He was just trying to get his. He's trying to hit. So, I mean, I'm not saying it's cool what he was doing, but I mean, he knew what he was doing. But you can kind of see like where he's like, hey, man, I got no skin in this game. Whatever happens, happens. Rose knew she was foul from the jump. So Rose is actually the villain of that story. And they both could have stayed on there. Rose wanted him dead so she wouldn't have to be accountable for all the funky shit she did while she was on that boat. And she didn't want a broke nigga. That's what she was basically the gold digger Kanye West was singing about. She was like, oh, if he had money, we'd have been together. But anyway, okay, bye. Bloop. Bloop, bloop. That's it. That's a wrap on Jack. If you feel I'm wrong or somehow in error, which I assure you I'm not, please feel to message me. Feel free to message me and let me know over on patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. You can also hit me up on Blue Sky, w1studios.bsky.social. And you can always catch me, well, not always, but at least the rest of this week, you'll be able to catch me over on Twitch Friday and Saturday for sure. Probably tomorrow, which would be Thursday, the 29th, to make up for today, because I'm going to try to do what I can to get myself situated so I can go and see this movie. But yeah, over at twitch.tv/linkib. Oh, a little update on the movie. I got the ticket, but here's a problem. Oh, it would have been a problem. Almost was. I couldn't find the card that I got it on. Like, I had like a gift card for like 15 bucks. I'm like, yo, ain't nobody want to see this movie with me. I'm going to go and treat myself to watch this movie. It's going to be cool. I've never seen Hard Boiled. I get to watch it in the theaters in the original Cantonese with subtitles. It's going to be bomb. Where's the fucking card? I'm looking around, patting myself down, checking my office, checking my wallet, checking the bathroom. And I'm like, retrace your steps. Where did you go? You pull the card out. You put it into your shorts. You need to go get a shower. So then you took shorts off, got a shower, got dressed, put your sweatpants on, took your shorts and put them in the laundry basket. You took the laundry basket to the, oh my God, the card's in the washing machine. Boom, 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 boom. I run to the washing machine because it's already running. Stopping right now means I got to pick through a bunch of sopping wet clothes. I'm like, I just got to eat. I got to deal with it. Either I just don't get to see the movie and I lost 15 bucks on the gift card. No harm, no foul. I mean, I didn't have it in the fourth place to begin with. So it was just like, it would have been unfortunate. I reach into the pocket of these things and this card is washed. Blessing of blessings, however, and this is how I know I'm loved and highly favored. The good Lord saw fit to fold that card in half with the numbers inside the fold. So I was able to read the entire number and scratch off the little pin number sticker there and get the 15 bucks. So pa-pow, you boys going to the movies tonight. It only cost me $1.26 of my own personal money. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that. So I'll give you maybe like a little review of it later. Who knows? I'll have a little bit of extra time to do some content through February. Maybe we can get some more extra Patreon episodes popping off. In the meantime, in between time, as always, I remain Link Flores. You guys remain amazing, and I thank you for it. And I will catch you wanderers a little further on down the road. Peace.